We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
So, it's been a minute since we've done this, and, I don't know why. I don't know if I didn't have anything to say, or I didn't have any music to play, or what was going on, but, you know, we're back here doing it once again. And this musical guest is really interesting. I can make shapes with my body. So this guy is Kenny Gray, and he is essentially, you know, just one of these guys on the internet who's doing stuff. And I was comparing him to The Lonely Island, not because his music sounds like them, but because they are, you know, all of their beats that they're doing are really solid beats. Like, you could, they are frequently, if you're not listening to the Lonely Island Seth Meyers podcast, do yourself a favor and listen to that. It is so good. And it's a lot of fun behind the scenes stuff and, you know, a lot of SNL lore and all that. I love it. But one of the things they talk about is they do actually buy beats from people just because they've heard them and they like them so much. And so they are, you know, legitimate rap beats. And I think this guy, Kenny Gray, is the same way. Like, I think musically he is really good. And the songs sound good. But they're also, like, if you took the vocals out, you could easily say, like, oh, this is a, you know, a Foo Fighters song or a Daft Punk song, and that's the other thing about him that's pretty amazing is stylistically, he's all over the place. So he's doing all kinds of things. The one negative to him is that his songs are all like a minute and a half long. So, like, this is the song I heard that got me into him, which was I Only Smoke When I Drink. Take a listen. I'll smoke the whole pack. Anyway, but he's got a lot of great songs. So let's talk about the bummer stuff first. Because there's, you know, like, that's life, right? There's good stuff, there's bad stuff. That's the way it goes. So here, let me move some hard drives out of the way for a minute. When I'm drunk, I'll eat the meat and the cheese. Okay, so let's talk about work just very briefly. Work is in the weirdest place ever because we are changing billing systems, and we have been in the process of changing billing systems for a very long time. So much so that the powers that be are like, we're tired of paying for these contractors that have been billing the system. So you guys just do it now. And we're like, how about no? How about we are still amateurs at this? We don't know what they already built. And so, no, we need to get trained. We need to get the knowledge transfer from them to say, like, okay, this is what we built and this is how it works. And this is, you know, if things go wrong, this is where you look and all of those things. But the penny pinchers are not interested in that. They just want to stop paying. And boy, howdy, is this a real cut your nose to spite your face situation? Because here's the thing, you do have to really consider what the price of failure is, right? So we generate the invoices for the customers. We are the reason our company gets paid, right? If we don't do what we do as well as we do it, we don't get paid because every wrong invoice that gets generated, the customer will dispute it and not pay it. Now, eventually they'll pay it when they get the new correct invoice, but they don't want, this is another thing, in finance, nobody wants to wait for anything to be done. Not, it's not right. They don't want it to be, they don't want to wait, right? Like, there's a whole process of closing the books where you say to everyone, okay, we have billed all the things that we are going to bill for this month. They've been entered into the system and now we're done, right? And we lock that off and then we're done. We don't change that month anymore. I don't understand why there is this massive crush to get that month closed as soon as possible, but there is. And there always is. Every company you go to, it's like this. So, I mean, if that's something they care about, that's gonna get pushed out. Everything's gonna get pushed out. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is I am pretty much unfireable at this point because I'm one of the few people who know, I think I would say out of the four of us, I know, like there's another guy who knows more than me about this new system we're going to, but I know a lot. And so they can't fire me because it's like, well, that's a whole bunch of knowledge that's gonna go sweeping out the door if they boot me. So there's a nice little bit of job security there in this madness. The other nice thing about this whole thing about switching over to the new billing system is I've been at this company for 3 years. I have always felt like I didn't know anything. And I still don't. And I'm just like, I don't understand why I can't learn this. Well, when we switch billing systems, we're all gonna be kind of fumbling around and trying to figure out how things work, and we'll all have this equal footing again, and it'll be nice. I'll get to be on even playing ground. Maybe I'll get a chance to learn things properly as opposed to when I came into this company and nobody was willing to teach me how things worked. So, you know, there's a little silver in this rain cloud, huh? Okay, so one of the other bummer things is my computer freaked out. It's hard drive, or not hard drive, but power supply just stopped working. Like, you couldn't even turn the computer on anymore. It wouldn't go. And it's wild because I've never had a power supply die on me. I have had hard drives and RAM and monitors and, you know, every part of the computer has been dead in the past except a power supply. And it was brand new to me. And when it happened, I was like, oh, it couldn't be the power supply. That's insanity. Of course it's something else, right? So, but I got another power supply, I put it in there, whatever. And then as I was using it, it would do this thing where like the screen would go black, all of the fans would kick on, and then, you know, it would just stop working. And I was like, oh God. And then at the same time as that, I felt like the sprinkler controller I had bought a long time ago, it stopped working for mysterious reasons. I think there was one other thing that was kind of busted and wasn't working for the right, you know, it wasn't working. And I was just like, God damn it. It felt like everything was breaking at once. And especially with the computer, like I just had no idea how to solve this problem. So if you ever run into this problem, here's what happened. For some reason, the computer was not turning on the video card fans. So the video card, I spent some money on this computer, all right? You know, and that was one of the other reasons I was so bummed out about it breaking was I was just like, I spent so much money on this fucking thing and have it just die, you know, and spin up and make crazy noises and all that. I was like, oh dear Lord. And not have a clear path on how to get out of this. That was the other problem. So all I did was I just opened up the software that controls the video card, and I said, just turn on the fans, turn them on 100%, just all the time. And then I ran the machine for a little while. I couldn't make it crash. And I was like, okay, great. Now, these fans are really loud. These fans, good God, they're tiny little fans too, but they are easily, I'm not gonna throw out a number. I don't know, but they're way, way louder than all the other fans in the computer combined. And so I was like, okay, look, if there's any way we can get away of not running these at 100%, that would be awesome. So I turned it down to 50% and I run it, no problems. I could probably run it lower, but I don't want to, I don't need to. And 50% is actually significantly quieter than 100%. So I'm like, great. Mission solved, mission accomplished. The point of the story is nothing is insurmountable, right? It's like when you play Connections or any sort of puzzle game, you might start off thinking, oh, I'm never gonna solve this puzzle. This is impossible. This makes no sense. I don't get what any of this is. If you put down the puzzle for a while and you come back to it, maybe an hour later, maybe a day later, and give it another look, or maybe, you know, go on the internet and search things a different way, I bet you your brain will try a different path and be like, oh, right, we haven't tried this yet, maybe do that. Or maybe we thought we had done that and we really didn't, which is also part of this whole grand puzzle. I thought I had turned on all the fans, but it turns out I hadn't. So then I sought out a different path and like, well, let's go down the video card route. We've tried everything else. Let's do that. So that's the moral of the story.
Space between the change and the result is longer than I'd like it to be.
Wow. That I did not plan that musical pause right there, but that is maybe the greatest bit of synergy between me pausing on something and the song being relevant, where he says, this is my first time hearing this song, but I think he says the beginning and the end result, the difference between the two are longer than I wished it would be. Boy, howdy, that was working on that computer in a nutshell. All right. So our kid, loves Cirque du Soleil. And I get it, you know, I'm sure when I was her age, if Cirque du Soleil existed, I would have loved it too. But you know, the older I get, the kind of less I like it. And boy, howdy, we saw it this most recent time and it was boring. Well, not to get too much into the Cirque du Soleil weeds, because if you've never seen it, it's just sort of like, I don't know what he's talking about. But, you know, in the past, Cirque du Soleil would have like a ramp up in terms of the wow factor of their acts. So it'd start off with, you know, some tumblers, you know, some light acrobatics, and you'd be like, okay, whatever. And then it would end with like guys on motorcycles, you know, driving around in a wheel of death or a globe of death, and just doing, you know, and it was like the end was like bananas. And then like along the way there would be stuff, but they were always heightening. They were always like, each subsequent act was more interesting than the previous one. Nope, not this time. This time it was tumblers or what they call like silks or aerial artists or whatever you want to call them. And I was just like, this is like, it's not going anywhere. I've seen this act not only in previous iterations of Cirque du Soleil, but within this very show, within this iteration of Cirque du Soleil. What are you doing? And I don't know. I don't know what happened to all the performers, because it's not like these skills are transferable, right? It's not like you can just be like, well, I got discovered doing Cirque du Soleil, and now I'm doing, I don't know, Star Trek? Starfleet Academy, which is the latest Star Trek show, which is, I don't know, a C-minus at best. Some people like it, fine, whatever. I'm not here to cause problems. But where do you go, right? I guess maybe you could age out of it. Like, maybe it's fun and games and all when you're 12 and you're this tiny childhood acrobat that you can fold up and stuff into a box or something. But and then it's like, well, now I'm 25 and I can't, I'm too big for the box. So, but you're still a good acrobat or whatever you do with your brothers and sisters in this crazy thing. I don't know. I don't know what happened to. I don't. Maybe all the death-defying acts. Let's be honest. You can only cheat death for so long. You only defy death until you don't, right? So maybe they're just not as many of them as there used to be. Okay. So I don't like my doctor. And this is a good message to everybody out there. Not all doctors are good. Many of them are, average, right? Like, because there's no... You don't have to prove yourself to graduate medical school. All you have to do is say, like, oh, I memorized all the things you told me to memorize. And if I can barf that back up on a test, then I get to graduate and I get to be a doctor. And especially the thing that makes me hate a doctor more than anything is crap bedside manner. Like if I'm going in and you're just a dick to me all the way through my, meeting with you, I'll go find another doctor, right? And there are so many tools now, and it makes it so easy to go find another doctor. Like, there's no reason not to. As long as you have some kind of health insurance, you should be able to go get another doctor without a whole lot of trouble. So I have this doctor, and I don't like her. And what I don't like about her is she treats me like a child, right? And maybe that's who she's used to dealing with, but I don't want that. I don't need that. Like the last time I was in there, I guess we were talking about my seborrheic dermatitis, which looks like eczema on my forehead. And she's like, oh, you should just go get this over-the-counter medication and then do this and this. And I'm like, bitch, do you know how long I've had this? Do you not think I have been told and have tried every fucking over-the-counter medication there is for this? Do you think I just got this yesterday? No, dummy. And she's always she barely listens to a thing I say. She's like, well, you should exercise. I do exercise. I walk 20 minutes twice a day. Plus I do resistance training. Oh, well, you shouldn't eat red meat. I don't eat red meat. I eat chicken because I'm trying to get protein somewhere. Oh, well, yeah. And it's like, again, like I need somebody who's going to listen to me and treat me like an adult. But here's the other thing. The other reason why I don't want to go see her anymore is because the hospital she works out of sucks ass. It's not that it's a bad hospital, but the parking is a joke. It's kind of an older hospital, so it's a little run down. And so I want to go to one of the other facilities. And that, my friend, is a little harder than it needs to be. Like, if I wanted to see somebody at the other one, no problem, at the other junky ass hospital, no problem. But if I want one of the nicer places, a little trickier. So anyway, I go to see this new woman who isn't going to be my new primary care physician. She's still the transitionary physician, which I'm like, okay, I don't know why we have to do this, but whatever. So, she finally said, your blood pressure has been high for a while. I mean, it's not like danger zone, but it's high. And that's still a lot of pressure to put on your circulatory system. So how about we don't? And I'll finally prescribe you some medication for it. And I talked to her a little bit. She was very nice. She listened to me, which was great. Then I said, you know, I went on this other one and it kind of made me dizzy. And she was like, oh, well, let's try a different one and let's get you a low dosage. And I was like, oh, right, dosage. I could have asked for a lower dosage on the other medication. I didn't even think about that. So I got this new medication and it is gnarly as fuck, man. It is out of control. I have never taken Ritalin, but this feels like Ritalin. I felt like I was shot out of a fucking cannon. And after 2 days of taking it, I'm like, nope, can't take this anymore. But I will still hang on to that medication because caffeine does not work for me anymore, right? I can drink a gallon of coffee and go right to sleep. No problem. But if I do need a little bump, a little edge, I know how this sounds right now. I know I sound like a drug addict because I kind of am. But, you know, I it's the weekend. I haven't been taking it. You know, I definitely am not going to be taking it on the weekend because I need it to work when I need it to work, not just because it's fun to feel focused and awake and alert and driven. So, no, I'm not going to do that. Flooding my brain. Got to be in the present, but the present sucks. Wanna be in the future. Gotta get my ducks. So, and then I also have been drinking a lot less. I, you know, everybody tells me for years, you know, oh, how bad drinking is for you. And what finally tipped the scales for me was the doctor that I don't like. She said to me that drinking causes nerve damage. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, you know, it's one of those things where you don't know it until you have it. And then when you have it, you can't fix it. Like, it's not like your liver or your lungs or whatever that will repair itself over time. Nerve damage is just bad, right? Like, it does not heal itself. And then I noticed after a couple of times of drinking, I was feeling a whole tingling on my left side. And it would last for like the whole day. And I was like, oh boy, I better cool it with the drinking. I wish I could tell you I felt different in any way. I don't really. I guess the tingling has gone away. But I don't feel any different. I don't, you know, there's all those people who like, oh, I stopped drinking and it's the greatest thing. And I feel more bright and cheery. And I mean, no, when I was drinking, I am the happiest drunk you've ever met. So if anything, I don't understand. I can't relate to the people who are like, oh, drinking's a depressant. Not for me. For me, it was like, I guess I'm opposite man today, right? Like everything, the blood pressure medication seemed to make me more jacked up. The alcohol elevates me. I don't know. But still, I'm doing my very best not to drink. Certainly not having alcohol in the house helps a lot. But yeah, so I'll keep you updated. Okay, so let's talk fun stuff, right? Let's talk about the movies. Let's talk about all the movies that are up for Academy Awards. Best Picture. I am not sure how much I should say about any of these movies. If you do plan on watching them, I will tell you my thoughts on One Battle After Another, the latest Leonardo DiCaprio film. It's also a the same guy who made Memento and all those like 5 hour long movies. No Country for Old Men. I think he did do that one too. But anyway, so Paul Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson. Anyway, it's a tough movie to watch. Like, it's very well done, but I never ever want to see that movie again as long as I live. It's a straight up bummer. It's like everybody in it is an asshole and unsympathetic. And it's like, I don't know who to root for. I don't like any of these assholes. Whose side am I on in this thing? Benicio del Toro is fantastic. He's probably the best part of the movie. Again, well-made movie, but boy, howdy, it was compelling. I wanted to see how it ended, but it's a bummer, and it's really stressful. Okay, so that's one battle after another. I watched Begonia, which is another really good movie. Emma Stone shaves her head for the movie, and I gotta tell you, I'm into that look. I'm thinking Emma Stone. You might want to consider that as a daily option for you. Now, if you want to see Emma Stone nude, you certainly can in Poor Things. She is not nude in Begonia. Begonia also made by the same guy who did The Lobster and The Death of a Something or Other Unicorn. I liked it less than The Lobster, but more than Unicorn. It's good. It kind of doesn't really go anywhere for the middle of the movie. It's only like the very end of the movie where it really picks up. So, I not Academy Award worthy, right? Not Best Picture movie, right? I also watched Sinners, which is the guy who made Creed and Black Panther. Of course, you know, if that guy's making a movie, Michael B. Jordan is in it, and he plays twins. And again, I feel like if you've seen Dusk Till Dawn, you've seen this movie. And in fact, I could run down the first 15 minutes of the movie and it's practically the same thing. So, yeah, again, not Best Picture worthy, but nominated. The most insane Best Picture nominee. And by insane, I mean why the fuck anybody likes this movie is Frankenstein. Guillermo del Toro. Boy, I will say this is the Academy Award for all the directors who've been around for a million years making some big ass movie and everybody going, oh my God. So whether it's Paul Thomas Anderson or Guillermo del Toro, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we're, you know, this is just, it feels almost like people feel obligated to like these movies because it's like, well, yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson, I love Boogie Nights, so I guess I'll love this movie. I guess I have to love this movie or I'm the asshole for not liking it. Frankenstein is a fucking abomination. This thing, not only is it not good, it doesn't make a lick of sense. There's a moment, it's apparently, I've never read the book. I can read, I choose not to, but apparently it's very true to the book. And a big part of the book is the monster meets up with a blind hermit. And then, hangs out with the hermit and he kind of grunts his way through it and everything. And at one point, so the hermit is not really a true hermit in this movie. He lives with his family members, but the family members have gone to do, I don't know, hunting or trapping or whatever they're doing. And they leave this hermit alone. And they're actually kind of concerned that he'll be okay while they're gone because he's a blind hermit. So he's like, no, you guys go. So then as soon as the family leaves, the monster comes out and he's like, oh, you love me? No, oh, I'm so alone and you are so alone, so we could be alone together. Right, as monsters do. So then the monster and the hermit hang out for a while, and then these wolves show up, which we've seen earlier in the movie, and the wolves have now decide that they are gonna eat the old man, and the monster is off doing his own thing. He left the old man alone, which also seems like a bad idea. So when the monster shows up, the wolves are now eating the old man. I mean, he's still alive, but they're causing problems. So the monster picks up the wolves and starts killing them and bashing them and throwing them to the ground and all this stuff. And then, of course, as soon as he's done killing the wolves, the family shows back up and he's like, oh my God, monster, you killed our grandfather. And it's like, you dumb motherfuckers. Do you look around you? Look at all the wolves. You don't think they had something to do with this? Look at the bite marks on him. Look at the scratches. There's a dead, you are literally almost tripping over a dead wolf as you walk in the door. This movie makes no sense. It's you know, and again, it's like, it's the same thing that we've seen with all these auteur directors. Nobody will tell them no. Nobody will tell them this is a bad idea. Nobody will tell them this movie's too fucking long. Just everybody's like, no, you're a genius. You get to do whatever you want. Here you go. Well, anyway. Oh, you know what? I'll give you, before we leave, I'll give you a good recommendation. And that is Predator Badlands. Now, this is... I think maybe the second Predator movie. No. Yes. No. It's the first Predator movie, I believe, ever since Disney acquired 20th Century Fox. And that's important to note because I think somebody said to them, we need a PG-13 movie. This can't be a hard R movie. And so... the movie is softened a little bit, I guess. There is still plenty of, I don't want to call it death, because it's all synthetic humans, like in Aliens, how they have the synthetic humans. Because, as we all remember, the Predators and the aliens live in the same universe. So in this movie, the Predators are the good guys, and Weyland-Yutani, the company that is trying to capture the aliens, are the bad guy, and they make the synthetic robots. So I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a great movie. Way better than all of the Academy Award movies that I saw. So, and it's streaming now on Hulu. So from me, from the music of Bright Brown, from Weyland-Yutani. No, those are the bad guys. Oh, damn it. Let's do this one more time. Till then.